everyone, and welcome to Celebrating Cinema. Today is another interview, and it's all around Dutch Design Week. I've invited Sarah Block and Lisa Cornell, two directors and a fashion designer, here to discuss their trilogy of immigrant fathers, Nobu, Baba, and Henk. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Perhaps one of you can start by just explaining what this trilogy is and how it started.
Okay, Lisa's pointing at me. Yeah, it's a trilogy of dads that migrated from Japan, Turkey, and Suriname to the Netherlands for over 40 years ago. We made the first part, Nobu, about Lisa's father, and it mostly just celebrates everything, really. Their lives, their story, being a dad. I'm looking for the overlap right now. Most important thing to tell about it as well is that it combines fashion, a huge element of surrealistic elements in it. Fashion and art departments, big part of it as well. And they're lighthearted portraits of stories that try to also capture migration in a different way than is usually discussed in a debate. By that, I don't necessarily mean on the spectrum of like negative and positive connotations, but more so where visual beauty is really approached as serious as the narrative, I'd say.
The metaphor that comes to mind, and I hope you see it as a good one, is like peeling an onion. And so every time a layer is taken away, it evokes more emotion in both a good way and a emotional way, I think.
Yeah.
There's this theme of happiness. I think you ask them all, both Nobu and Baba are asked specifically, are you happy? And they both say, I'm not unhappy, which I think is quite a funny response. And with Henk, you also experience that as well, where they seem very content with their lives. And I think the way you explore these three characters or people, you really like humanize them in ways that they're perhaps not used to being seen, maybe. Is that a fair way to...
Yeah.
Maybe Henk especially, because he's a janitor in the Richterveld Academy, so perhaps people overlook him, but I don't know if either of you agree with that or...
Yeah, it was a big part, that also with the fashion part, that we wanted to kind of... And also if you think about who is a model or muse, and also who is the subject of a documentary, that it's always quite extreme cases, and we also wanted to show more really personal and, in quotations, normal people and show kind of their eccentric sides and the sides of them that are not usually seen.
Yeah, and of course, Lisa, you're the fashion designer. How did the collaboration come about to partner up with Sarah and explore this? And also, what were the thoughts into the costumes that you designed? Because they're very loud and striking in a way perhaps that these three characters aren't used to wearing.
We are actually already friends for like 15 years. We met in high school. And so the very start of the project was just the two of us, me just finishing art school as a fashion designer and Sarah just finishing writing. And then we were just talking about our own disciplines and how each discipline could kind of learn from each other. And in that conversation, we kind of got enthusiastic about the idea of making a new type of fashion film that was also socially engaged. And then because also my father is such a close person to me, of course, but Sarah also knew him from coming over my parents' house already for many years. He seemed like a very good example for a first character.
Yeah, he seemed like a good example because we were talking about, I think, we never tell this in interviews because it's quite an extended, I'll do it briefly, but we were talking about, in that time, there was the opposition party of Rita Verdonk still. She did a proposition of people having to, migrants, even if they're here for over 20 years, having to reintegrate, right, with
the test. Like an integration course. And my dad had to do it. So it rose kind of the question of like, when does someone fit in? And it was something that made me very angry that he, after living here for 30 years and contributing and paying taxes and stuff, that he had to really, in very humiliating ways, had to prove his contribution and his citizenship.
But at the same time, you were fair about the fact that he didn't speak Dutch and that there were some points that he wouldn't pass on that test, and which made it interesting that in which points then that you maybe can't really put the finger on, but point out he can pass. Like how, in which ways is he very much embraced then by society that do not check a box in a test?
Yeah.
Like how do you test if someone kind of fits in well enough? How can you ever put kind of some sorts of measurements to that?
And then I guess that's like contrasted by the outfits that they wear, in the sense that they may not necessarily appear like they fit into these outfits, but as they wear it, it seems like they grow into them. When watching, it felt like they grew more and more comfortable and confident in the costumes and outfits themselves, that it almost felt like they broke a barrier for them to express more than what they're usually used to. Did you experience that?
Yeah, it was in the beginning every time that I did like a first fitting with either of the dads, whether it was my own or Jalen or Hank. The reaction was always like, wow, what did you make? And this is not what I wear. And Hank was even like, I always wear black. Didn't you look at me? I only wear black. So the first reaction is quite like, whoa, this is not me at all. Mm. But because, of course, it is very much them, but it's my interpretation of them. And it's also like more kind of as an art form and as one of those onion layers you were talking about. It's kind of, okay, I see this, what they're wearing, and I exaggerate it. Or I see this from the cultural part that they refer to a lot and I use it, or symbols and stuff. So when I explain to them, like, it's not just a huge a green coat or a huge pink kimono, but it's because of this and this reason, then they kind of grow into it and then they start to become proud of it and they like it, kind of. It has to switch off this idea of like, if it was something that they would wear, that's their first reaction, I would never wear this. And then when it becomes more clear that it's kind of an artistic interpretation of them, then they all kind of were more happy to wear it and flattered, and they liked it and they were curious, like, oh, is this a weapon about my life? And oh, I see the sauce in there. And Hank being like, oh, this looks like my sister's wedding gown. I was like, yes, it's inspired on your sister's gown, you know, like this. Yeah. So
both Nobu and Hank, watching them walk around Amsterdam in the outfits was particularly spectacular. I think it's quite, again, a contrast. the city to these, like, I don't want to say normal, but ordinary, perhaps, looking people wearing such loud outfits. I think it really brings out their personalities. And I wondered, how do you think film and fashion complement each other? A question to both of you, sort of, how do you think film enhances these outfits that you see them wear in a way that it wouldn't normally transpire if, say, it was just through photography, maybe?
If I start from the fashion side, like, for me, what film adds to fashion is really just narrative and depth, I guess, because all of those things are within also a fashion collection. For instance, if I make only fashion and don't use film, these layers are often in it, you know, and these ideas. But it doesn't give such a translation to an audience. And it's very particular, like people who like fashion and then maybe see things in it. It's always somehow kind of abstract.
Yeah.
And with film, you can actually add narrative and feeling and music and all these things that give a lot of layers to what you're otherwise only trying to say in a garment.
Yeah.
And from the other side, I think what fashion can add to film, and specifically to documentary, is that in documentary there's always this element of the filmmaker's presence. Of course, you're sort of, if you put it very badly, you'd say, or like very negatively, you're like a parasite of someone's life. But we really try to embrace that, or not embrace it, but just be honest about it. We are making a story through our eyes, of course. This is not the truth of him. And that presence of the filmmaker, we try to just really approach it in a joyful way. And fashion can really do that. This is also why we show a lot of fashion being made as well, and a lot of reflection of the main characters on it as well. It's fun and it's joyful and it's dress up, and it is an artistic interpretation as well, but it's also just us making a story. Yeah. And you can really see that from fashion in the documentary.
And they reflect also on the fashion, so it's also a tool to make them reflect on their own story, kind of.
Definitely, and I like how you keep all the bits in, or not all, but when they talk to you off camera or when they're questioning certain moments, often you see other directors take that out, whereas I think you explain why it adds to it by keeping that stuff in. You understand that it's your interpretation of them, but they still have control of how they present themselves.
Yeah, and something else is that we try to be honest in the world that they live in. We try to create a fantasy thing, but then connected to, very much rooted in this society. So we don't want to erase everything else that's just maybe not as pretty. So that's why we just put them in the cities.
Yeah, that would be more like a fashion film where they erase everything. Yeah, you know, everything that's not perfect. But we kind of like the humor also of not erasing those things.
And when you describe it, well, I would also describe it as a fashion stylized documentary. It's quite like a hybrid to put all these different things together. And I know that these are both your backgrounds, but sort of what is the vision, and sort of where do you think these kind of documentaries can go?
What is the vision?
If that's not too broad of a question.
No, I mean, we are trying to make, kind of for ourselves at least, this hybrid new genre. So that's also why we felt that we could make three, because when we did the first one, we were like, oh, there's more in this hybrid form that we can discover. I mean, I don't know where that will go. I think we will try to work together more, but not necessarily precisely in this form with dads and with, this documentary style, for instance. But the feeling of kind of mixing that fashion stylized element in film and in documentary, we can do with other ideas as well.
And very different subjects as well. You need to be careful a bit not to be like a one.
Yeah, exactly.
One. Yes, yeah, Monty Prodi.
But I hope it, I mean, it would be nice if there's more fashion films, for me at least, like that are more also, not necessarily in this genre, but kind of break out of the commercial feeling.
What were sort of your film influences around making this and sort of just your own taste and style?
Well, film influences, we didn't have so many because we are both, our backgrounds are not necessarily in film. So it was kind of this feeling of a blank canvas that I think
made pretty liberating.
Yeah, that we don't have like, oh, this is like the scene that they will do in this type
of movie. Yeah. I had a few references for mostly how art department influences a story. The classic Eternal Sunshine does it as well, where just the mood of the character reflects on how the set changes when the guy walks out of the bookstore and he walks into his friend's living room and just... That's one scene. The whole thing is connected to each other. It's not changing locations. That's just great. And it just reflects so much of how he feels at that moment. And this film, Buy Me a Gun, does it the same way, where a girl walks through a landscape of people that just all have been shot. It's quite a brutal film. And it's a little girl. She's like 5 or something. But all the people aren't like actual dead bodies, but they are photocopies or like photographed versions of it, so they're flat and it's a top shot, so you don't see that immediately, but when you go closer, and that also reflects so much of how I feel she experiences walking through those, because she doesn't care, because she's used to it. It's very far from what we do, because we'd like to have a very different tone to it, but the same principle, I guess.
And when you describe that scene, I immediately think of Baba, where he's standing in front of that massive canvas of his family picture. And that was also still very moving, but in a much more lighter tone, perhaps.
Yeah.
So what kind of stuff do you want to do next? How do you want to combine these two again? The idea of fashion and documentary. I know you probably don't want to reveal too much.
But well, we have a vague idea of the language that's being used to talk about art.
Yeah.
We just find that very interesting and how accessible it is and to who and why. And this is something we've been talking about now as a subject, but we start from, you know, conversations like this, and then we don't really have a form idea for this yet, but this excites us, I guess, right?
Yes. And it's also, I think, now Sarah is doing a master's in England, a film master. And we also worked so intensively for many years, for 4 or 5 years almost. So I think it's also good that we both like take a step back and then maybe like in a year come back again when we have like both kind of fresh ideas and new influences.
Yeah, I'll be back in 1.5 years. So
I wanted to ask as well, so obviously this started in 2018 or 2017. When did you start producing it?
Yeah, 2017 was like writing it, and making the collection. So
it's been like a 5-year project almost. What have you learned from it? Sort of what have you taken away from making this trilogy?
We've really become like filmmakers. In the beginning, we were shy to call each other or each other and ourselves filmmakers. But now, we made 3 films. I guess it's fair to say now that we actually are filmmakers. But that's not an answer to what have we learned. But
it's just we have learned filmmaking.
Gives you the confidence.
For me, also learning to think more in kind of in a more narrative way. And also what we take away from it, I think a lot of it is also about like how different it was each time making it. So you learn also a lot about producing and how to approach making something and the relationship we have with each father. That's also a nice part, I think, that it's like, because it's a documentary, it influences their life so much as well.
And I think I also really connected more with fashion as an art form, because most people, and I did too, because it's on the human body, you think of it as a not per se an art form itself, but also, and it has these very commercial elements.
Like a product.
Yeah, a product. And superficial It's just the dangers of a superficial idea about it is quickly there. And then Lisa really introduced me to the fun part about this art form, is that it's just as much of an of a visual art form as painting, really.
Mm. Now that you would call yourself filmmakers, what are sort of the obstacles you experience now in making the next projects or sort of cementing yourself in this industry?
For me, it's that I think that even though making all these films, that it's still very much like these labels, like being a fashion designer, instance, or if someone calls you an artist or a fashion designer or a filmmaker, for instance, and that really can determine sometimes what you are allowed to do. Mm. So for me, that's really an obstacle, and I like to really kick it by doing something completely different the next time, and then doing something next time, and one time calling yourself a director of something, and then fashion designer, and then an artist or something, when you do something that's very much more like an artistic form that's not with the human body anymore. So those, I think, are obstacles, kind of like what you are expected to do.
And you, Sarah?
So I started a master in fiction film at the National Film and Television School about a year ago. I switched from documentary to fiction film, which wasn't really a big unexpected thing for me, because I did a BA in theater writing, so I wrote a lot of fiction. It's a very different discipline, you know, making up stories. And then I love it, but it's because when you portray someone and it's documentary, you have this magical element of that it's real, and this is whatever he says, no one will doubt the truth about it because he just says it, and it's the code that it is real. And in fiction, that's not the case, so you have to manipulate into thinking that it could be real, which is also fun part about it. But I guess that's the biggest difference.
Do you feel you've had to unlearn certain things?
Oh, that's a good question. Unlearn? No, I think it's just the starting point of the story is just completely different.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you don't go looking for someone that you might find interesting.
And so, obviously, Nobu and Baba are available to watch on Vimeo, then Hank's now on a festival run, but you've also turned it into a book, which you'll be presenting at Dutch Design Week. Are you able to speak a bit more, sort of why you thought it was a nice idea to put it all together in this book, and sort of what people can expect from you guys at Dutch Design Week?
We made a book because we thought it was nice to capture this trilogy in one object, because it's like loose films that are in different parts of the internet or at film festivals. They're obviously not always shown all together. And to kind of have this document of this project that was for us a huge 5-year endeavor. So we made a book that also shows kind of the parts and the layers that you might not necessarily immediately see in the film. You might feel it kind of, but sketches and quotes of things they said, and also
you see some of the fittings and
and also kind of like some parts of our funding applications that really show our intention and what we want to say.
Yeah, we have to thank Marius Schwartz for the design of it, but also he went through all the funding applications we did for all the films, and he made a new story of this into transforming it into a book.
Yes, it was a huge pile of information that we have. And then it was really nice that someone else gets kind of like the core of it and gets what it's about and has a kind of a fresh view in what that is and designs it into these chapters. And also the films itself are in it kind of as a cartoon version of scenes. But also we have seen the films, of course, so many times and we are so involved. So it was also nice that someone else kind of looks at it fresh and takes out what he thinks are the core scenes.
And will you be presenting it at Dutch Design Week, or is it just available for people to look through?
We will be presenting it next Saturday, 22nd. There will be the book and then a little exposition of Nobu Baba Henk with the fashion. And Lisa, may you tell whatever.
Yeah, it's an exhibition. So we present the book, but around it there's kind of these banners of pages from the book and of fittings and of the actual garments itself, and a screen with the films. So it's kind of...
It looks really cool because the pictures are printed on fabric and they are like real life format or size.
And do you envision hopefully being able to screen the whole trilogy together once Henk has finished its festival run?
Yeah, we did do it for the premiere of Henk. Yeah. So then we showed before Henk, we showed Nobu and Baba.
And we will do it again in the Toneelschuur in February.
Okay.
As a just as one night.
But it's nice about this project because it's kind of hybrid in its disciplines that you can show it in these. We've also shown it in a gallery with like snippets of the films in these TV screens. And now at Dutch Design Week, it will also be all three together, but it will be more focused on the book. But it's still like the project as a trilogy together. So it's like you can do a fashion exhibition, you can do a book presentation, you can do a festival. Yeah. It's like it's quite... It can go many directions.
And it makes it even richer, the whole experience, to be able to spread it across these different forms, because then you really understand the whole story and the essence of these people, personally.
Yeah.
I just want to say thank you very much.
Thank you.
And hopefully people will come check out your book at Dutch Design Week. Otherwise, there'll be links to both Nobu and Baba in the show description notes.
And they can buy the book.
Ah, of course.
Buy the book.
Where yes. can they buy
and
it?
We'll also send you a link.
Okay,
great. On my website.
Well, amazing. Thank you very much.